This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Yeah, you just have to stay open-minded because, like, what we don't talk about enough is just because you free agency opens up and it looks a certain way, you don't know if there's a connection that that player may want to go somewhere else. So it may not even come down to money. It may be the fit for the player. So there's no guarantees just because the board is lined up and you have money to make it happen. So you got to really cast a wide net and be opportunistic and see when opportunities pop up, you know, this is the best thing for us. You do anticipate things like that, but at the same time, it was just about acquiring the best players that we can.
Titular GM Ryan Poles of the Bears. Read and react. That was his offensive philosophy. What do we got? What can we get? How do we do this? Trading was better than going to the free agents R Us store for some of the offensive line. Then they went out and got the best center available. Many changes on the offensive line. Welcome in, welcome back. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. With all the changes on the offensive line, what does it mean? How well can we expect them to play? All kinds of things going on. We needed to speak to an offensive lineman. Now joining me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is James Big Cat Williams, member of the Bears offensive line for 12 years. He's joining me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Big Cat, how are you today?
I'm good, Steve. How are you, man?
I am groovy, and I'm so glad you're here. With all of the changes, tell me, let's take the step back and say, what did you think in general of the where what the Bears needed to do, and how successful were they at doing that?
Well, I think, you know, we've talked about for the last several years about what they needed to do, and I think this is the first big step forward that they've taken as far as getting that done. And when we talk about that, we're talking about, you know, where everything starts, the offensive and defensive line. To go out and get players like Tooney, Jackson, Dahlman, to help to solidify the inside of that line, as well as help the maturity and growth of both Wright and Jones. If that's the starting line that you're looking at, yes, that is a big improvement over anything they've had for the last several years. But then you also have to figure in, you know, injuries throughout the season, whether a player has to move from center to guard or from, or, you know, guard to tackle, depending on how things work out. So, you know, once again, I think we're looking at an off season that the Bears are winning, but it has to translate into the regular season. And with the way that, you know, Coach Johnson talks about how he wants to set up this offseason as far as, you know, seeing what these players do well and then working off of that as far as his game plans and as far as his overall, you know, what he wants this team to look like. It should be interesting, and it should be fun to watch for the during the offseason.
My guest is James Big Cat Williams, Bears offensive tackle for 12 years. Have you ever been part of a makeover of an offensive line like this? Because there's a follow-up question that's really important with this, but have you been part of this when the team you were on changed so dramatically?
Well, for me, I think, you know, I was the change coming in as a defensive lineman and then moving to offense, learning the position. You know, for me, the importance of having the older players around me, not only offensive players, but defensive players that helped me to figure out exactly what my game was, especially being a guy that came from defense. So once I was able to figure out, or once I was able to be taught what I was good at, you know, it was just about growing and expanding on those things and how that fit in with the other four guys across the line was, you know, it had a lot to do with what the offense, what each offensive coordinator put together. You know, there were years where, you know, Power O was our best play because that was what the five of us up front, maybe including one of the tight ends, was really good at working at using. You know, we had a fullback that was good at getting to the second level and blowing up inside linebackers or kicking a guy out on the edge. So it was more about, you know, what we were good at, what Ben Johnson's talking about now, and being able to organize all that and put it into a plan that we could use every week. You know, I like what you were talking about earlier as far as, you know, if we're good at Power O, we're going to run Power O till the cows come home. You know, you're going to have to stop Power O, and you're not only going to have to stop it, but you're going to have to prove that you can stop it multiple times. So, you know, it's really good to hear a head coach come in and talk like that as far as, you know, his offensive line, his quarterback, his specialty positions, just as far as, you know, let's find out what these guys are really good at, and then we'll build something off of that.
James Big Cat Williams is my guest, Bears offensive tackle for 12 years. We're talking Bears offensive line here on The Score. And what he had said, what Ben Johnson said, was if we get really good at a particular type of block, that's what we're going to feature. And it just seemed like a revelation around here. We've seen so many guys try to be too slick or not put it in simple terms. And what he's saying is we're going to put our guys in a position to succeed. And
yes,
and that works to the quarterback's benefit, and he's the most important person on the field. When you hear such common sense and when you hear Ben Johnson talk, now I know it's been a while since you've been a player, and I'm not trying to age you out of this whole thing, Big Cat, but when you hear that compared to what you heard from other coaches, what do you think? How do you think this resonates with Bears players today?
Well, you've got to be excited, because when you're talking about a guy that is going to find out exactly what you're good at, he already said, I'm going to put these players through the ringer. We're going to run everything that we can possibly imagine to run. We're going to get it all on film. We're going to figure out, you know, are these guys good at reach blocking? Are they good at their double teams? You know, what are they good at? What can we lean on? What in pressure situations can we focus on? What can we call that the defense knows we're going to run, and they still can't stop us? You know, and as a lineman, as a player, you have to love hearing that, because you realize that you're going to be put week to week in the best situation possible for that game, for that week, as far as practicing, as far as the game goes. It's all going to coordinate, and you are going to know exactly what you need to do, when you need to do it, and why you are doing it.
You know, it sounds so simple. I've said that for years. The Bears don't have that go-to play like you described. We know we're going to run it, and the opponent knows we're going to run it, And we know they can't stop it, and they know they can't stop it. When is the last time that play existed that you can remember for these Bears? What was the play? Do you remember the last time that the Bears said, oh, yeah, they're going to do this, and you can't stop it?
Like you said, I'd have to go back to when I played, and that was a very, very long time ago. But, you know, it gives you a sense of hierarchy when you know that they are concerned about something that you run, quite frequently, and they are going to try and do a lot of different things to stop you from doing that. And, you know, whether it be blitzing linebackers, whether it be slanting the defensive line, whether it be running games with the defensive end and defensive tackle, or a game between a linebacker and a defensive tackle, they try all these things to stop that one play. And the thing about it is, if you as an offense are all on the same page and you all know what you're doing, and you catch them in one of these blitzes or one of these stunts, and they are not able to get to the gaps that they need to get to because you all are able to cover it up, that's when the big runs happen. And, you know, that's what I'm excited about seeing this year, just seeing them go out there, execute the play that is given, and take advantage of anything that the defense does wrong.
James Big Cat Williams is my guest. Played tackle on the offensive side for the Bears for 12 years. We're talking offensive line here. Tony Wise, the legendary offensive line coach, would always make the point of saying the offensive line is a unit within a unit that needed to be able to react to each other while reacting to the quarterback, the running back, the defense, all that's going on, almost one-brained. And yet, while there is reason to be excited, there have been upgrades in the middle of the guard, center, guard. There still has to be that unifying, that connection, knowing each other. And that may be troublesome for all of our excitement now. How long, they're veterans, how long might it take for Joe Tooney and Dahlman and Jackson to orchestrate as one unit with Braxton Jones, the presumptive starter now, and Darnell Wright? How long might that take? What might be the obstacles along the way?
See, that's a great question, because, you know, I'm going to sound like that old, you know, I always say this, I'm that old get off my lawn guy. But with the practice schedules and things that they go by now, it is so much harder to work on an offensive lineman's craft. You know, our hand is in the dirt almost 90% of the time, and we are physically trying to oppose the people that are across from us. But in practice, you know, they can't go back-to-back full gear practices. You know, they have to have an evening off before going into another live practice. So, you know, when do you have the opportunities to work on these things live? And that is one of the issues, because offensive line is not a thing that you can do half speed and be able to get the same effects in a game that you do out of practice. You really can't afford to brother-in-law in practice, you know, I'm going to take it easy on this guy, he's my teammate. You know, we have full pads on, I need to be able to go 100 miles an hour. I need to be able to take a new player like Grady Jarrett, and I need to be able to attack him the same way that I would attack a guy on Sunday. And I need to be able to get the same reaction out of him so that my guard and I know what we're doing, so that my tight end and I know what we're doing, so that the center guard know how this combination block is going to work. So it is going to be a process that they're going to have to go through, and it's going to take a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of, you know, meeting as individuals. I mean, you know, we're talking with five new guys together as one unit. We're talking about lunch breaks together. We're talking about extra meetings in the evening or in the morning before practice together, just going over the things that we need to go over, because we're not going to be able to get it all done physically on the field between now and the start of the season.
Walkthroughs make up for any of it, or just not enough, that the only way to get better at playing that kind of football is to play that kind of football?
Yeah, walkthroughs help, because you know, as you brought up Tony Wise, and one thing that I'd say the biggest thing that I learned from Tony is, as a player, you not only need to know what your responsibility is, but you need to know the responsibility of everyone around you. Good offensive lines, you know, the ones that they talk about that play well on the road when it's loud, that's because these guys have worked together. They can anticipate what the guy next to them is doing, whether it be tackle working with a guard, and knowing that if this defensive tackle moves at the last second, we are on the same page. Because you only have a few seconds up there at the line of scrimmage. Once the center gets done talking, once the quarterback gets done talking, and you're into your cadence, if that defense moves at any moment, or at, you know, the slightest bit, you need to know that the guy next to you knows exactly what you know and where you all are going. And, you know, that was one of the things that Tony harped on. You know, you need to know whether it's a three-step drop, a five-step drop, a seven-step drop. You need to know if it's a five-step drop, is my wide receiver running a route that's going to take a little bit longer? So now I can't cut this guy, or I've got to block this guy a little bit longer. So it's about getting everybody on the same page, and not only knowing what your responsibility is, but what everybody else's responsibility is.
Yeah, you're that's a unit within a unit, and the center rightly is looked at as the quarterback of the offensive line, because it all stems from, and now Dahlman, who seems, look, he came from Stanford. He's got to be smart enough to be able to wrangle the other four guys on the line, right? Isn't that the way it's supposed to work?
The center runs it all.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't really realize that until, you know, I started playing offense. But yes, if you find a good center, your Olin Krutz, your Jay Hilgenberg, if you find that guy that can orchestrate everything that goes on across the front of the line, and as well help that quarterback recognize things that are going on. Now, the quarterback has to know also, you know, as an offensive line, you can't tell them everything, but you are there to help. If you have that guy that can orchestrate everything that's going on up front, that is a big help to everybody else across the board.
Big Cat, I had hoped to have you on a couple weeks ago. It was sad, but I knew that you would have some insight about the passing of former Bears coach Dick Duron. You played for the man. What are your thoughts now on Dick as a coach and as a person?
You know, Coach Duron was... He was a player's coach. You know, you always hear players talk about a player's coach, or, you know, this guy is a player's coach, or this guy is a player's coach. He was a man that played the game. He was very even keeled, so you never really saw him too high or too low. And he was a good coach. I enjoyed playing for him. You know, having the opportunity to come in here when Ditka was at the end of his career, when, you know, through Coach Wanstead's career and then into Coach Duron's, you know, three different coaching styles. And honestly, Coach Duron was the most, like I said, even keeled of the group. So it was fun playing for him, and you know, he was a great guy to learn from and to communicate with.
There was a story you once told me about a man of Dick Duron, a player's coach, but not necessarily the coach of the player who is named Cade McNown. When you were, can you share with the class that story? Do you feel okay sharing that story?
We. That was the 49ers, right? When we went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And that was, I want to say that was Cade's first start. And I think in the first half, we did not, as an offense, make it past the 50-yard line. And, you know, I'm an older guy at that time. So as we're coming off to the sideline, you know, I'm talking to a couple of guys on the line. And, you know, everybody's like, you know, what are we doing, man? You know, we've got to figure this out. And, you know, I remember walking up to Coach Duron, and he's standing there with his headset on, and the defense is out there on the field. And I'm like, you know, Dick, I was like, you know, what are we doing, man? And he looked at me with the straightest face I've ever seen, and he said, hey, they want him. They got him. We're going to finish this out with him in there. And, you know, I understood that. I understood that because I understood the pressure that he was getting from not only the organization but the fans, as far as, you know, they wanted to see what they had. And, you know, unfortunately, it wasn't as great as everybody thought it was going to be.
No, it wasn't even close. It was, oh, my God.
Hey, don't get me wrong. And don't get me wrong. I was excited. You know, that was a left-handed quarterback, and at the time, I was playing right tackle. So, you know, that was a selling point for me. Yeah, we get a left-handed quarterback. Now that makes me the backside guy. I'm excited about it. I need this to work, but. Yeah, unfortunately, it didn't work out as well as we thought it would.
No, it didn't. Okay, so I have hellos to pass along to you from George's mom. George's mom says, hi. I know her from my Trader Joe's, and I told her you were scheduled to be on the show. And then she mommed me. She mommed me
did
with that.
Did you say George or Georgia?
Georgia. Georgia.
Georgia. Oh, yeah. That's my daughter's best friend.
Yeah, right. So then she mommed me when I told her you were going to be on. She used that index finger wagging voice and that tone, said, be nice to him. So,
oh, yeah.
Have I been nice to you, big cat? I don't want to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I got you covered. Next time I see her, I will let her know that you took it easy on me.
All right. I appreciate it. Big Cat, thanks for taking the time. It was great insight. Love the knowledge. Love the stories. Thank you very much.
Thanks, man. You have a good one.
All right. James Big Cat Williams, Bears, offensive tackle for 12 years. Great stuff about when he played, what he's looking for, what it takes for an offensive line to coalesce, even established veterans, how they have to think as one. That's quite a thing. Appreciate Big Cat. So we're going to take a break, or I'm going to take a break. Well, you're going to take a break with me. When we all come back, we will reconvene, and we will discuss the Bears, their moves, and Betty White, as one does with Patrick Findlay of the Sun-Times. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
No, it should be thank you for being a guest. That walk-up music from the Golden Girls can mean only one thing. That now joining me on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times. Download the Circa app today. Patrick, thank you for joining me so we get to play that walk-up music.
It's the highlight of the show, I'm sure.
It is. There's no question. Because it leads to this. I don't know if you saw this, but you needed to know this, and I needed to discuss it with you. The U.S. Postal Service will commemorate the warmth, wit, and charisma of Betty White by honoring the late actress and comedian with a new stamp bearing her likeness.
I did see that. I will buy one or many. I don't know how she beats B. Arthur to the punch on that, but you know, can't be too picky.
Do you have a Golden Girls power ranking?
Good question. I would probably go B. Arthur 1, Betty White 2, Rue McClanahan 3, Estelle Getty 4, and yes, I just pulled the names of all four.
Yes, you did. So this was, I want to share with the class, the tweet that Patrick Finley sent out Wednesday. Grady Jarrett, colon, confident and charming. Then a follow-up tweet, also, colon, funny. All of the above are good. I would add inspiring, though I'm not getting suited up, if the media can be inspired. There's a reason I would have wanted games to be played immediately upon seeing that press conference, is so I can get post-game Grady Jarrett as much as possible. And I thought you summed it up really well. Your impressions, now you can expand on that, but I thought he was, what a terrific thing. What a thing.
It was the best player introductory press conference I've seen at the Bears, and I've covered them since 2013. Now, it doesn't mean anything, obviously, you know, in March, but Grady Jarrett is somebody, and you need to understand his background. Grady Jarrett's dad is Jesse Tuggle, who played for the Falcons forever. Grady Jarrett then played for the Falcons himself for 10 years. He is the mayor of that locker room. And he had been told literally 36 hours earlier that he was going to get cut, and he didn't see it coming. And for someone like him to pick up his life, move across the country to a place where he spent zero time, to leave a place where he is legendary, and to be as fired up to do it as he is, I thought was remarkable. And it's remarkable the way he expressed himself. You know, you can just feel that emotion coming out of him. But knowing the circumstances, knowing that on some level he's probably heartbroken that he's no longer in his home, and to come here and say what he said was impressive. You can see how he could inspire others. And that's a really big deal, because when you look at the Bears last year, at least, you know, they were short on talent. They were short on coaching. They were short on a lot of stuff. But they were also short on guys who had been there and done that. And Grady Jarrett, after 10 years in Atlanta, boy, you know, he and Joe Tooney, both of those guys have been there and done that at the highest level for a long time.
Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times, my guest, we're talking Bears here, and we're talking Grady Jarrett, and specifically, how long before he becomes the mayor of that locker room? Sometimes it's really hard for a new guy to walk in and be that guy. Not everybody gets to be Kirk Gibson. You immediately walk in and you go, hey, follow me. We're doing it this way, and I have to go back that far because that's the most, the biggest version of a new guy walking into a locker room. But Grady Jarrett sounded like he was there. Sometimes it's really hard. And last year we saw Bears veterans that we thought were leaders. They just, they faded. They crumpled. They seem to be tilting at the wrong windmills of when everything was going bad. They didn't make it better. So where does Grady Jarrett's personality fit in, and how long before he becomes the guy?
Well, let's start here. I certainly hope the Bears don't have a baker's dozen of captains the way they did last year. whatever they had, seven or eight. And when you have that many, obviously you have none. I think we even thought that. In the moment, it may take a while for him to come in and take over that leadership mantle, but they've got time. You know, we were talking to Drew Dahlman, the center who they signed the other day, about, you know, assuming a leadership role. And he said, whoa, guys, you know, there are a bunch of steps between now and then. And it starts with, you know, me working hard and my new teammates seeing that. It starts with me getting to know these guys and becoming friendly with them. And them thinking that I'm a good person was an actual phrase that he used. So you've got to establish all of those things before you can say, okay, I'm the leader right now. But Jarrett certainly has the personality where you think he's going to lean into it. And, boy, if he can get to the quarterback, too, that would be a combination that the Bears desperately need.
How much playing time do you expect to see? Because he's such an important position. I thought Jerron Dexter was his arrow was pointing up, and now it may be flat at best. I'm not sure where he went with all this. That where does Grady Jarrett, do you think, fit in as far as playing time?
I think, in general, we need to stop thinking of the defensive line as there are four spots for four people to play. You know, the Eagles showed this year, and they showed in their previous Super Bowl trip as well, you need seven or eight of them, and you need to cycle them through. I think Grady Jarrett is going to be the starter because of the skins he has on the wall, because of the respect he has, and also because of the contract he's getting, quite honestly. But if things are going well, you're going to see, you know, Dexter and Jarrett and Andrew Billings. You're going to see all of them playing a lot. You know, and I still think the Bears could use a fourth defensive tackle, and I think they might go for one in the draft. And you could say the same about defensive end. You know, you've got Dio and you've got Sweat now, but boy, you don't need two. You need like four. And I think the modern NFL is showing us that, but especially if you're not going to blitz like crazy, you need to keep bringing in wave after wave of guy, and the Bears need more of them. And I think they will continue to pursue that probably in the draft. And I don't know that there's a defensive lineman left in free agency who's kind of worth the trouble at this point.
Deo Odengbo was brought in. He hopes to be multiplied by Montez Sweat. There wasn't a whole lot of multiplying. And then there was thought we need to bring in people to help take the pressure off Montez Sweat. Multiplier should need pressure taken off. How should we look at Montez Sweat?
I don't think we should look at him and expect 17 sacks. And I don't know that we can look at him and expect 13. You know, this is a guy who, you know, 2 years ago led both the Commanders and the Bears in sacks. And that stat alone is remarkable. But when you look at his career up to that point, this isn't somebody who was really in the double digits. This was somebody who played the run really well, who could get to the quarterback, and who had the size to play end in a 4-3 scheme. And I think he's a really good fit for what they're trying to do here. But I don't think he's going to turn into Trey Hendrickson. You know, he is going to be, like I said, more of a well-rounded three-down edge rusher than somebody who's going to set sack records. And, you know, you talk about bringing in somebody opposite him, you know, taking on a guy who really wasn't a starter in Indianapolis until last year, this is a bet on his future. This is not paying him for past production. And I think that makes him one of the more intriguing Bears players is, you know, we don't really know what this guy can do. And they're paying him like somebody who has already been successful. I mean, I thought that they were, that they had a shot at Khalil Mack, who wound up staying in LA for $18 million over 1 year. You know, in that case, you're probably paying Mack for what he's done in the past. Here you're paying a guy who may or may not be that answer across from Sweat.
Talking with Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times, talking Bears here on The Score. And you'd mentioned, you referenced the draft and what they might do. They have picks numbers for now, 10, 39, and 41. And I'd made the point, I thought earlier, and I made the point to start the show, that the one thing I would learn if I were Ryan Poles, after this spending spree and the contract extensions, even with the trades, that is that I would draft exactly what I just paid for. Because there was a great lack of that, and that's why you had to go overpay. You had to go the free agents are us store or trade for them in that way that almost made them, you know, they seem like free agents. And one thing he hasn't done is that I would draft exactly what I just paid for because, like you said, guys get hurt, and these are not all 23-year-old guys. What would you expect Ryan Poles to have learned, or how do you expect him to approach this draft?
I agree with you, and I'm sure that sounds good for you to hear. I agree with what you're saying. What's so intriguing about what they've done on the offensive and defensive line is, on one hand, we can make out their starting lineup probably in 10 right now, but there are still holes long-term that they need to fill. One of them is left tackle. Braxton Jones, your guy going beyond this year. If he's not, you have a great chance to draft a defensive tackle with that 10th overall pick. We talked about defensive line and about how you don't need four guys. You don't need six. You probably need eight. And by that rationale, you have got you've got to get another tackle and probably another end. I would add this one caveat to it, though. Boy, I wonder whether they're interested in Ashton Jeanty, the Boise State running back. You look at what Ben Johnson did in Detroit a couple years ago. They signed David Montgomery, and then a month later, they go and draft somebody to play alongside him early in the first round. I think you can make an argument for that now because the Bears have patched these holes. I don't know that I would do that. I think I would continue doubling down on the lines, knowing that, you know, they can help you this year, but they can help you going forward too. And, you know, you said it, you know, Joe Tooney is old by NFL standards. Grady Jarrett is old by NFL standards. These are guys who have held up really well traditionally. And boy, that's exciting if you're the Bears, is you get these guys who haven't missed games. But, you know, but they may miss games. And even if they don't, they're probably not going to be on your team 3 years from now. And it is time to start looking at long-term solutions at the offensive line, because what they've done, you know, at least at the two guard position, is, you know, they've patched here. And, you know, I'm not convinced that Jonah Jackson, you know, is going to be their guy in 3 or 4 years unless he plays a lot better than he did last season.
Yeah, it's hard to take seriously a guy who played less than Tevin Jenkins. And that, I realized there were reasons for what happened to Jonah Jackson, but still, that's what happened to Jonah Jackson. And Tevin Jenkins was the bar that, well, okay, the Bears don't want this guy because they can't rely on him. And that's a very important characteristic. You know, the best ability is availability, and I understand that. So I'm with you on Jonah Jackson. I'm a little unsure there.
I do think, though, that Tevin, you know, his injury issues go beyond one season. They've literally been throughout his career. It's a guy who had back surgery as a rookie. And then, there's some stat, and I can't pull it up off the top of my head, but maybe something like 30 or 40% of the games that he started, he didn't finish because of injury. And, you know, this is somebody who is dominant when he's out there. But the Bears, you know, just couldn't rely on him to play full games, much less a full season. And with Jackson, you got to hope that, you know, this past year, you know, he gets hurt in training camp, and by the time he comes back, they've kind of replaced him already. You have to hope that that's a one-off compared to Tevin, where I think you've got a body of work that justifiably gave the Bears pause.
Before I let you go, Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times, and you brought up Ashton Jeanty, and the pattern is such that if DeAndre Swift leaves your team, you do better. Detroit did better, as you detailed. And then he went to Philadelphia, and he left Philadelphia, come to the Bears, and Philadelphia won the Super Bowl. Saquon Barkley is hurtling people backwards. So what is DeAndre, if what the scenario you guessed at, that you don't know how they feel about Ashton Gentry, Genty, what do you think the future of DeAndre Swift is, period, here?
I think that when you look at what the Lions did last year, they had something called a Sonic and Knuckles backfield, which is a video gamer phrase that means thunder and lightning.
Copyright.
So we'll call it thunder and lightning. And Jahmyr Gibbs, one of the more dynamic young running backs in the NFL, and David Montgomery, who could put his head down and plow through you. That rationale, I mean, can get you to Genty and Swift sharing time this year if they do decide to draft that, and then they probably move on from Swift after this season. I will give you an interesting nugget, though. Alamide Zaccheaus, who's the slot receiver that they signed earlier this week, he spent last year in Washington and had been in Atlanta before. He played high school football with DeAndre Swift and then played on the Eagles with DeAndre Swift. So if anything, the guy's got one of his lifelong friends on the ball club, and will be a teammate of his for at least one season here.
Okay, get in the slot, kid. Run. Open up the middle for everybody. Patrick, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Always a joy.
Of course, have a good day. And if I get any of those stamps, I'll send you one.
Yeah, look for that. Yeah, Betty White. All right. Thanks. Patrick. Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times talking Bears here. Take a break. Come back. The offensive line. You know what? Because I went about an hour ago, I went down that horrible rabbit hole trying to doing the whole Jonah Jackson thing, and we saw the horribleness. But now, sunshine and light, and I'll find a way. I'll read some names and make you feel better, because Stevie Sunshine's here on St. Patrick's Day. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
Wow, big voice guy saying my name. Big voice guy. This must be important. Or if not, at least it's filling time and space. I'm one of the fillage people. Thank you for joining me. I want to remind you about this. Listen now. Join 670 The Score and Shane Reardon at The Wall at Marcus Theater Cinema in Gurnee next Thursday, March 20th, from 7 to 9 p.m. for a college hoops watch party. The Wall is the ultimate college basketball viewing experience. Enjoy specials on drafts and apps, plus enter to win score prizes. Visit thewall.marcustheaters.com for more info. I want to read you something. I want to read you last season's starting offensive line against Tennessee. Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Coleman Shelton, Nate Davis, Darnell Wright. And then Gerald Everett and Mercedes Lewis. That was listed in Pro Football Reference as the starting offensive line, tight ends included. So let me read you this now. As we stand, there's not a whole lot of speculation here. These are the names. Braxton Jones, Joe Tooney, Drew Dahlman, Jonah Jackson, Darnell Wright, Cole Kmet, Durham Smythe. Now, I'm told Durham Smythe is a tight end. It sounds like a hedge fund. Either way, that's the other tight end on the team for now. You see what I did there for you? Because I'm Stevie Sunshine. Do you see what I did? I brought you joy, didn't I? Because the second time, I did not read Nate Davis's name. Nor did I read Gerald Everett's name. Immediately, there was an upgrade. From bottom feeder offensive line to at least second tier, because these guys have never played together. Everything about this line is better. They've never played together. We talked to Big Cat earlier in the hour, and I asked him about the time it would take for all five new players to learn all five players and think as one brain to know in a split second what they'd have to do, how they'd have to, what they'd see, that they all see the same thing. And it was, not to sound like a get off my lawn guy, And he's right about that. They got to play more football back when he was playing football. And now there are rules against that. The offensive line's got to do things in real time to be able to know what they're watching, what it's going to look like, have it seared into their memory, and how combination blocks work. Player next to his left, to his right, depending what your position you're playing. That could take a while. Hope they get that done quicker. They're smart enough. You would look and you've heard from these guys. They sound bright. They sound articulate. They don't sound standoffish like Nate Davis, who I don't want to practice. Maybe I don't want to play. Just give me my money and don't ask me questions anymore. That kind of stuff. And you listen to Drew Dahlman, and there's a button-down brilliance about him that you want from your center. And Joe Tooney doesn't say a lot of – he doesn't light it up like Grady Jarrett, we'll say that. But Joe Tooney's got the pelts on the wall. And one of the things about Joe Tooney, this. If you were listening the last year and a half, Caleb Williams is – he's all about TB8. He wants 8 Super Bowls, one more than Tom Brady. Well, here's a guy who played and won a couple Super Bowls with Tom Brady. Joe Tooney's right here. I think he has Caleb Williams' attention immediately. I think Caleb Williams goes to the Joe Tooney well often. And I think that's a good thing. That's a good sign. We're talking earlier with Patrick Finley. I keep saying we, it's me. I guess it's a radio thing. When I talked to Patrick Finley, we talked about the draft. His colleague at the Sun-Times, Jason Leisure, wrote that the Bears, he was looking at the draft, could select a left tackle or move Darnell Wright from right to left and make Braxton Jones a swing tackle. Okay. All these moves have the Ben Johnson seal of approval. All the ones we've seen. That means they have Caleb Williams' seal of approval. You're talking about a lot of change. And you're talking about guys who should be in the position because, as I talked about Tony Wise, this is one, they're the Rockettes. They're one, they're a kick line. They are one unit, thinking one brain, knowing what the guy next to him is going to do because they've seen it, they practiced it. They know. Big Cat said, Tony Wise said, you have to know your job and everyone else's. And that includes the wide receivers. That includes the running back. Where are they going to be? Where do you run your man? So in this dance of the elephants, 5 new guys, 5 guys new to each other. The tackles are not new, but now suddenly you're making them new. You would want to minimize, I would want to minimize additional chaos. You had 3 holes, guard, center, guard. You filled 3 holes. Now you're going to create another hole with a question mark if you're moving Darnell Wright. And he's going to learn a new position on the left side. So who's going to be on the right side? I don't know what kind of PTSD Caleb Williams has, but it has to be a good amount that should have been calmed by the signings. And what would it mean if his right tackle is going to go to his left side? Could he look at it like a rookie? Oh, my God, I've got a rookie left tackle. Not technically a rookie, but on that side, yeah. I don't know that I'd want to add to Caleb Williams' PTSD by moving my right tackle, fairly well established, over to the left side. Ideally, you get a left tackle, you leave him there for 10 years. That would be great. And ideally, if Darnell Wright is that guy, why didn't you do it immediately? If he was going to be your left tackle, if you're going to move him there, why didn't you just start him there? Start the clock. Make the mistakes now. I don't get that. I don't think I want to see Darnell Wright moved. I would rather minimize the chaos. Let everybody learn together and let Caleb Williams feel confident that the guys that he does know, as opposed to the guys he's getting to know, at least he knows where he can find them and what he can expect. Don't create more questions in the mind of a guy who was sacked third most sacked quarterback in NFL history. So just calm that Darnell Wright movement stuff. Okay? Hear me? Got it? Take a break. When I come back, we'll talk some Bulls. Bulls play Houston. Chuck Swirsky, likely to dance. We'll see. They start a long road trip, 6-game road trip. It's going to be a lot of shoes that Chuck might need to bring out for everybody. We'll talk to him about it next. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.